Wetlands are nurseries for blue crabs, striped bass, and menhaden, among other important species of the Chesapeake Bay. The variety of plants also absorb pollutants like nitrogen that run off city streets and farm fields. And they protect properties from flooding by stabilizing shorelines and absorbing stormwater. So back in 1987, scientists created the Global Change Research Wetland in a marsh off the Rogue River in Maryland to find out what global warming means for wetlands.
So these plants have been growing in a future atmosphere for over three decades, and this represents the world's longest running climate change experiment, other than the big one that we're all involved in.
Patrick McGonigal is a senior scientist at the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center. We step from the woods out into a corner of the marsh, where raised narrow walkways take you from one experiment to the next. The low hum is a pump circulating carbon dioxide, vital for plant growth. It goes to dozens of experimental chambers made of PVC pipe frames wrapped in clear plastic to block the wind. Native wetland plants like grasses and needle-like sedges poke out.
They receive pure carbon dioxide in the airstream, enough to simulate the year 2100, the end of the century.
The experiment uses over a ton and a half of CO2 a week, more than the Camden Yards concession stands, according to the person who delivers a supply each week. So what have they found?
Elevated CO2 causes the plants to become shorter, but more dense.
While some of the plants are burying more carbon, they're also slowing down floodwaters and capturing sediment. That can help build up marsh elevation and protect the shoreline. But then there's the sea level rise. The Chesapeake Bay is a hot spot for sinking lands and rising seas, and that's affecting the plants in different ways. Wetland grasses are dying as the sea level rises.
In this marsh, at least, the grasses seem to be disappearing, and that's because the marsh is getting wetter. And as sea level rates are increasing, the marsh floods more and more often, which favors the sedges, but does not favor the grasses.
So what can communities around the Chesapeake Bay do to help wetlands?
In order to keep their footprint, they need to be able to migrate inland, which they can do as long as the edge of the marsh is forest or agriculture, perhaps. But they definitely can't do it if the edge of the marsh is a wall.
And if you're living at the water's edge and experiencing erosion, he suggests a living shoreline, which is a combination of riprap or oyster shell and plants. But the real solution is cutting greenhouse gas emissions, the biggest of which is CO2.
Our data show that the elevated CO2, which this marsh is experiencing, can actually help a little bit, but it can't solve the problem. The only real solution is to stabilize the rate of sea level rise, and this marsh just can't survive but so much.
Beyond these experiments, scientists are running one with another plant. In our next report, we'll consider Phragmites. From the Global Change Research Wetland, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.